Hi, Living Life family. Welcome back to season 4. Our theme this season is deeply rooted, and we're studying the Bible not just for information, but for transformation and for preparation. I know we all come to scripture with sincere questions. How do I read it well? How do I understand it? And how do I move from simply reading words on a page to truly hearing God's voice? That's what we're talking about today. This episode is called Back Then, Before, Right Now. And I know you might be wondering, is this going to feel like a seminary class? But stay with me. What we're about to explore isn't just for scholars or for pastors or for people who know Greek or Hebrew. It is for you. It's for anyone who has ever opened the Bible and thought, I want to understand this. I want to know God. And I want to be able to teach other people faithfully. This conversation is about learning to listen well. Because scripture is not just random words on a page. It's God communicating with his people. Last week, I said that the picture I want you to keep in mind this season is the tree that's described in Psalm 1. The blessed, happy, and fortunate person whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on it day and night. This person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaves does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. This is our objective this season, to become deeply rooted, fruitful trees who provide nourishment and shade to the hurting world around us. And we can become like this tree when we immerse ourselves in God's word, empowered by his Holy Spirit. Did you know that trees communicate? Beneath the forest floor, their roots form a vast underground network, sharing nutrients and even signaling warnings. What appears still above the ground is sustained by an active exchange below. A tree planted by water is not passive. It thrives because it is connected to a life-giving force. Psalm 1 says, the person who delights in the law of the Lord is like that tree. Scripture is not merely ink on a page. It is divine communication. Through human authors, through texts that they crafted, through the Spirit's work in us as readers, God speaks. And when we position ourselves by the living water of his word, we are nourished, we are strengthened, and shaped to bear fruit. But like all human communication, understanding and interpreting the Bible is complex. I have had the privilege of traveling around the world, and one thing I've learned is that although human beings share much in common, we communicate differently. It depends on our culture and our backgrounds. When I'm in my community in Johannesburg, I can speak openly and directly because that is culturally acceptable and normal, and even appreciated. But since moving to Kansas City, I learned that my straightforward, tell-it-like-it-is responses can sometimes feel startling and even offensive in a culture that highly values politeness and careful consideration. The same dynamic applies to Scripture. There are many factors that shape correct interpretation. As we mentioned last week, the Bible is both human and divine. The divine dimension alone can be overwhelming, but the human dimension adds its own challenges. The biblical authors wrote within cultures very different from ours, across vast differences of time and worldview. And when we read, we must account for these differences. According to Janine K. Brown, understanding scripture as communication involves three interrelated domains: the author, the text, and the reader. Meaning emerges as we thoughtfully consider all three. The author is the real person that God worked through, someone writing at a specific time, in a specific culture, to a specific audience. The text is the actual written message, the words on a page, shaped by a particular genre, with a certain flow, structure, and purpose. And the reader is us. We don't come empty-handed. We bring our experiences, assumptions, questions, and cultural backgrounds to what we read. Now, I'm going to introduce two words that might sound a little unfamiliar, but stay with me because they are simpler than they sound: hermeneutics and exegesis. Hermeneutics is the study of interpretation. It steps back and reflects on what is happening when we read and try to understand something. How meaning moves from the author to the text to the reader, and how our assumptions, culture, and experiences shape that process. Exegesis is the hands-on work. It is careful practice of drawing out meaning out of a particular passage by paying attention to context, culture, and details. In simple terms, hermeneutics ask, how does interpretation work? Exegesis ask, what is this passage saying? Both help us become better listeners of God's voice in Scripture. Because this season is called Deeply Rooted, let me give you a gardening metaphor. Hermeneutics is stepping back and asking how growth happens, how it works in the first place. What makes a plant thrive? What influences the outcomes? So it reflects on the process of growth. Exegesis is kneeling behind a specific plant and examining it carefully. You look at the leaves, you check the soil, you notice whether it needs more water or less water. It is intentional, attentive work, focused on what is right in front of you. In the same way, one helps us understand the process of interpretation and the other helps us interpret a specific passage faithfully. This idea of interpreting and meditating on God's word didn't start in the New Testament. Let's go back to Joshua for a minute. Joshua is standing at the edge of the promised land. Moses has died and leadership has shifted. This is a massive moment in Israel's history. And God speaks directly to Joshua. Here's what he says in Joshua 1 verse 8. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. Now, just notice the order. God doesn't say charge ahead or trust your instincts. He says, stay anchored in my word. Meditate on it. Keep it in your mouth and let it shape your thinking. And then be careful to do what it says. We don't just rush to application. That pattern, listen and interpret first, then live it out, is woven into Scripture from the very beginning. Now, let's fast forward several hundred years. The people of Israel had been in exile. Jerusalem had been devastated. But now they have returned. The walls have been rebuilt. There is a sense of renewal, like something fresh is happening. And what do? They gather around the word. Nehemiah 8 tells us that the people asked Ezra to bring out the book of the law. And he reads it from early morning until midday. Can you imagine that? 6 hours, men, women, and children, everyone who could understand was standing and listening. Just listening to God's word. But here's the part that I love. Verse 8 says, they read from the book, from the law of God with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. They didn't just read the word and send everyone home. They explained it. They helped the people understand what it meant. They gave the sense of it, meaning they bridged the gap between the text and the people standing there in the square. That's interpretation. And look what happened next. The people were moved. They wept. They felt convicted. And then after being reminded that the joy of the Lord was their strength, they went out and they obeyed. You see that pattern again? They heard, understood, and responded. Understanding led to conviction. Conviction led to obedience, and obedience led to joy. So this is not cold academic study, but it's life-giving. It's engagement with God through His Word. And this is what we're learning to do. Not just to read Scripture, but to understand it well enough that it shapes how we live. Now, Let's move to the New Testament. I love this story. In Acts 17, Paul and Silas have left Thessalonica because a riot broke out. They arrive in Berea, and as was Paul's custom, he goes straight to the synagogue to go and preach. Here's what Luke tells us. These Jews were more receptive than those in Thessalonica, for they welcomed the message very eagerly and examined the scriptures every day to see whether these things were so. I want us to slow down and notice what made them different. It says that they were more noble, not because they blindly believed everything that Paul said. They did something much better. First, they received the message eagerly. They were open, they were curious and hungry. But then, and this is important, they examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul was saying was true. Think about it. The Apostle Paul is standing in front of them, a respected leader, a powerful communicator. And they don't just nod and go home. They go back to the scriptures. They open the scrolls and they ask, is this actually what God has said? They held together two postures at the same time, open hearts and careful minds. They received eagerly, examined diligently, and then they believed confidently. Their faith wasn't emotional hype or groupthink. It was the natural result of honest study. And Luke, the author of Acts, actually praises them for this. He holds them up as an example. Let that sink in for a moment. If Paul's teaching was examined carefully, how much more should we be willing to examine what we are taught today? This doesn't mean we become suspicious of every teacher, but it means we take responsibility for our own study. It means that we don't outsource our understanding of Scripture. It means we love God with our minds as well as our hearts. And here's something I want you to hear clearly. Questioning what you've been taught, testing it against Scripture, is not weak faith. It is what deeply rooted believers do. Because teachers are humans, and humans can get things wrong. But God's word remains forever. Before we go any further, I want to tell you why this matters to me personally. When I was a teenager, I cut my hair short, very short. I used the product on my hair that damaged it, and I felt like the only option was to cut it. But I felt really self-conscious and exposed. You know that feeling that when you are aware of how you look, but you're hoping that nobody draws attention to it? And then Sunday came. My pastor was preaching from 1 Corinthians 11, the passage where Paul talks about head coverings and says a woman's hair is a glory. From the pulpit, in front of the whole congregation, he said, women who cut their hair are ugly. And then he said my name. I don't remember much of the sermon after that. I remember heat rising in my face. I remember wanting to disappear. I walked in already feeling insecure, and I walked out believing that the Bible itself had confirmed my worst fear. I was ugly, and God must see me that way too. And for a long time, I believed it. But here's what I know now, and this is what I wish someone had told me when I was a teenager. That wasn't what Paul meant. Paul wasn't issuing a timeless declaration about hair length and beauty. He was addressing a specific cultural issue in Corinth, a church navigating questions about honor, shame, worship, and social identity in the Greco-Roman world where head coverings carried meaning. That passage had context and history. It had a setting. My pastor didn't just misunderstand it. He misapplied it. And when scripture is misapplied, people get hurt. I'm not sharing this story to shame my pastor. I genuinely believe he thought he was being faithful. But good intentions doesn't erase real consequences. Maybe you have a story like that. Maybe someone told you the Bible says, and what followed left you feeling small, silenced, or shamed. Maybe scripture was used to limit your calling or control your voice. Maybe you've watched someone that you love walk away from faith because the Bible was used as a weapon instead of a gift. That's why this teaching matters, because interpretation has consequences. When we misread scripture, we can wound people. We can distort God's character. But here's the hope. When I finally learned to study scripture for myself, when I learned to ask, what did this mean back then? Before asking what it meant for me, something shifted. I realized God wasn't disgusted with my haircut. He saw me and He loved me. And scripture, rightly understood, became healing instead of harmful. And that's what I want for you. I want you to study the word in a way that protects your heart and honors God's intent. I want you to grow so confident in handling scripture that no one can twist it to manipulate you. And if you've been wounded by someone misusing scripture, I need you to hear this. That wasn't God. That was bad interpretation. Now that we've seen why faithful interpretation is important, we can move on to learning how to do it. That brings us back to exegesis and hermeneutics. First, exegesis is just a careful word for asking, what did it mean back then? When you are doing exegesis, you are trying to understand what the author intended to communicate to the original audience. You're stepping into their world before dragging the text into your world. You're asking things like, who wrote this? Who were they writing to? What was happening at that time? What issues were they addressing? What would the first listeners have understood when they heard this? The word exegesis simply means to draw out. We are drawing meaning out of the text, not inserting our own meaning into it. Now, let's talk about hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the broader discipline of interpretation. It reflects on how interpretation works in the first place, how meaning moves from the author to the text to the reader, and how we faithfully bridge the gap between then and now. Hermeneutics helps us to think carefully about the process. It reminds us that we are not neutral readers. We bring culture, experience, and assumptions with us. It teaches us to be aware so that we don't distort the text. And here's the key. Hermeneutics does not replace exegesis. It depends on it. We don't jump straight to, what does this mean for my life? We first do careful work of understanding the passage in its original setting. Then we ask, what does this reveal about God? What truth carries across cultures? What was specific to their situation? What is timeless and enduring? Hermeneutics is the work of discerning how timeless truths crosses cultural boundaries and speaks into our lives today. It is the right now work, but it must always be anchored in the back then work. Because when we skip exegesis and rush to application, something subtle happens. The Bible begins to mean whatever we want it to mean. We start confirming our own ideas instead of being shaped by God's word. But when exegesis guides hermeneutics, when the back then shapes the right now, the text stays in charge and God's voice stays primary. Let me say this clearly. You've already been doing this. Every time you pause and ask, what does this mean? You are stepping into interpretation. This season, we're just refining that instinct. We're learning to ask better questions, to slow down and start with back then before we rush to right now. And when we do that, scripture becomes deeper, richer, and more trustworthy. I don't want this to stay theoretical. I want you to walk away knowing exactly what to do the next time you open the Bible. So here are three simple practical shifts that you can start making today. Number one, start with what it meant back then. Before you ask, what does this mean to me? Pause and ask, what did this mean to them? Who wrote it? Who were they writing to? What was happening in their world? You don't need to overcomplicate it. Just slow down enough to get curious. Use a good study Bible or try searching a simple search online like, what was happening in Corinth when Paul wrote this? or use a good program like the Bible Project. This organization gives short summaries of the historical context of all the books in the Bible on YouTube. Number two, be a Berean. Stay open and stay thoughtful. The Bereans teach us something beautiful. They were eager and they were careful. So come to Scripture hungry and ready to hear God speak, but also be willing to examine what you are taught. Even if it's a trusted teacher or someone you admire, even if it's me, go back to the Word and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to truth. Number three, remember that interpretation affects real people. This isn't just about getting theology right. It's about loving people well. You heard what happened when 1 Corinthians 11 was misapplied to my life. A teenage girl walked out of the church believing something about herself that wasn't true. When we handle Scripture carelessly, people can carry that weight for many years. So approach the Word with humility. Ask yourself, am I drawing meaning out of the text, or am I reading my assumptions into it? God gave us His Word as a gift, so let's handle it in that way. Living Life family, this season we are not skimming, we are digging. We are learning to handle God's Word in a way that honors Him and that protects people. We are becoming the kind of believers who receive eagerly, examine carefully, and love faithfully. And remember, you're not doing this alone. The same Holy Spirit who inspired these words is present when you read them. He guides and clarifies, He convicts and He comforts. Next week, we're going to zoom out and talk about the big story, how the Bible fits together. Because when you understand the whole, the parts will become more clear. If today's episode encouraged you, share it with someone who might need it. Let's be people who handle God's Word gently and faithfully. And don't forget, you can download Bible study work pages at SamanthaShambo.com if you want to go deeper this week. Friend, always remember, in Christ, you are deeply known, fully loved, and you have a divine purpose. Until next time, keep living love.